Rav Pinchas Menachem Alter, better known as the Pnei Menachem, was the sixth Sker Rebbe, a position that he held from the year of 1992 to 1996. And I've been reading recently a beautiful biography that was just put out about the Pnei Menachem. Pnei Menachem was an unbelievable, in addition to all the things one would expect of a Rebbe of thousands, being the Talmud Chacham that he was, being the tzaddik that he was, but there was a certain mida of empathy, an understanding of compassion that really characterized so much of his life. He said that when he became Rebbe, he said, part of the responsibility of becoming the Ger Rebbe is taking upon myself the responsibility to love every Jew as if he were my own son, and as if he were my only son on a certain level. And he gave over his entire being, his entire heart. He gave over his whole life to his Hasidim, and really to any Jew. He didn't distinguish between Ger Hasidim and other Jews. When they asked him, when he first became Rebbe, they said to him, Rebbe, what are your office hours? When are you available to meet with people? So he responded to them. He said, there's going to be a set time for starting, but there's no set time for finishing. I'll call it a day when every single person who's come to speak to me, when the last Jew is finished with me, that's when I'm finished. And he would spend hours and hours and hours every day listening to the suffering and the hardship and the brokenness of Jews. He said after a couple of days of being Rebbe, he said, I already knew how to krechts like a real Rebbe. So one time he met a tzaddik, another Rebbe, a strick of a Rebbe, Rav Avram Landau. And he said to him the following. He said, I hear so many tzaras. My whole day is filled with hearing the tzaras of other people. And he says, my heart has become like a stone that can no longer feel the pain of another. And he said, at times I take comfort from something that I heard from my mother in the name of my grandfather, the Sfas Emes. And he went on to share with the Rebbe of Strick of the following story. The Sfas Emes in his time would receive telegrams from all over the place, particularly from people in Poland and in Russia. And people would write to the Sfas Emes also the most painful letters, the most broken experiences that they were having. Many people would correspond to the Sfas Emes in Russian. Sfas Emes didn't speak Russian. So he would have one of the members of the family to help to translate, to be able to translate these telegrams, these letters. So the Sfas Emes' daughter, Rebbetzin Esther Biederman, was one of the individuals who would translate for the Sfas Emes. So one time, the Sfas Emes' Rebbetzin was sick, and her daughter, Esther Biederman, went with her mother for medical care. And the Pnei Menachem is telling this story, and he says, my mother took over. She was 12 years old at the time. She also spoke Russian. She took over as the translator. And she starts to read this telegram describing, from someone somewhere in Russia, writing to the Sfas Emes, this painful, painful, tragic tale of a child who fell from a great height and cracked his head open and the tsars that this family is going through and this horrific head injury. And she's reading this letter, she's translating this letter to the Sfas Emes, and she bursts out into tears. And the Sfas Emes turns to his gabbai, to his attendant, whose name was Reb Mendel, and he says to him, she takes things too much to heart. As for me, Sfas Emes said, I already have a heart of stone. I can handle such a thing. Because the Sfas Emes said, in order to be a Rebbe, a person has to have a heart of stone. In order to engage the tzaris, in order to handle the hardship, and to listen to these broken, broken accounts of people suffering, of Jews suffering, it takes a heart of stone. The Pnei Menachem said, my father, the Imre Emes, the third Ger Rebbe, told me that whoever sits on this chair, meaning the chair of the chair of the Ger Rebbe, must possess a heart of stone. One hears so much pain, so much suffering, that only a heart of stone can bear it. And then the Pnei Menachem said, you know what, and I disagree with my father. A heart of stone is not enough. You need a heart of flint. You need a material that's even more than stone. Because otherwise a person just becomes so broken from hearing the tzaras. But the Pnei Menachem concluded the story, he wasn't telling the truth. Because we saw years later who the Sfas Emes really was. We saw what the heart of stone of the Sfas Emes really looked like. The real heart of the Sfas Emes was so clear when you saw how you responded during the Russo-Japanese War of 1904-1905. Sfas Emes had Ger Hasidim, Jungelite, who were taken by the Russian army into the they were inscripted into the war effort. And at one point there was this horrific battle that was taking place between, again, Japan and Russia. And the Russians were attacked on one of their naval bases, Fort Arthur, a terrible attack. Many, many people were killed, and amongst them, some very young, distinguished Ger Hasidim. When the Imre Emes, the son of the Sfas Emes, heard about this, he said, I can't tell my father this. His heart's going to burst. He won't be able to handle it. I'm scared that he's not going to be able to handle hearing such sorrows. The Kachava. The Sfas Emes found out about the Ger Hasidim who had been drafted into the war, how many of them had been killed during those terrible battles against Japan. And the Sfas Emes at that moment, he couldn't take it anymore. And he died. He died of a broken heart. He died over the plight and the suffering of other Jews. And the Pnei Menachem said it was then that we understood what the, in quotes, heart of stone of the Sfas Emes was really made out of. Sfas Emes was 58 years old when he passed away in 1905. The Pnei Menachem, the sixth Ger Rebbe, was not that different. He may have said like his father, and he may have said like his grandfather, you need to have a heart of stone, you need to have a heart of flint, just to be able to handle the tzaras. But he didn't live that way. Countless stories of his empathy, his compassion, his willingness to let the pain of other Jews into his own heart. He said there was a young chassid with five young children who lost his wife to cancer. And he said the Pnei Menachem came to his side and he took him on like his only son. We're talking about a rebbe, a leader of thousands. And he took care of him, he provided for him emotionally, financially, physically, whatever it took. On the day that this fellow's wife passed away, the Pnei Menachem sat in this room crying and saying, a mother of five children has died. How can that be? And he wouldn't meet with anyone. He was so broken as if his closest relative had passed away. And when the Pnei Menachem eventually passed away, like I said, in 1996, this chassid stood at his levaya in the pouring rain. And he said, that great heart of the Pnei Menachem, that heart that so deeply and acutely felt the pain and suffering of each individual, as if it was his own, simply couldn't take it anymore. Pnei Menachem was 69 years old when he passed away. The Tribuna Rav of Dov Beresh Wiedenfeld, a tzaddik who suffered in Siberia during the war, came to Yerushalayim 1947, right before Pesach, but had been sent to Siberia with his wife and his daughter. He was on the list of the Nazis' most wanted individuals. Rav Dov Beresh Wiedenfeld was described in the Nazi newspapers as the greatest Talmudist. And they were searching for him. And he ran and eventually ended up again, like I said, in Siberia, where he suffered a lot. In his biography, it describes the sympathetic and empathetic heart that he had. The Tribuna Rav literally had two heart attacks from hearing the tzaras of Yidden, from hearing the pain of Jews. There was a fellow who came to him, he was hunchback, he was having a difficult time because of his unusual physical appearance. He was struggling in Shidduchim. And when he left, the Tribuna Rav was so pained by it that he literally had a heart attack on the spot. He was invited one time by the Beis Din in Tel Aviv to look at a file of complex cases of families, of couples who were going through a divorce, and he had a heart attack. He had a second heart attack. Because he couldn't bear to look at the face and the pain of the suffering of other Jews. And he said one time, I'm envious of the Chazon Ish. Because the Chazon Ish has this remarkable ability to sit with someone who's in pain, to feel their pain, to be fully present, to mourn with them, to hurt with them, to feel their pain, and then to somehow shift gears and be able to go back to his Gemara. But Tribuna Rav says, I don't know how to do that. When I sit with people and I hear their tzaras, I'm done for the day. I'm wiped out. Twice he had a heart attack listening to the tzaras of Yidden. So I share this with you because I think this is so much the avodah for the next 24 hours. This balance of deciding if we're going to harden our heart or we're going to soften our heart is exactly what we're grappling with over Tisha B'Av. Chazal tell us, we all know, Lufum Tzara Agra, it's the last Mishnah, and the Pirkei Avos. If a person is not willing to hurt, then a person will not have reward. In accordance with the pain is the gain. Like a seed that's placed in the ground that has to decompose in order to sprout, We understand if you want to get somewhere in life, you have to be prepared to engage sometimes in really hard things. But as humans, we don't like pain. We don't enjoy the experience of suffering. We don't like taking on those challenges. We like the path of least resistance. The Gemara has several times in Brachos and Daf Hei Amud Beis, where tzaddikim, where tanaim were suffering, and they were asked by their contemporaries, by their colleagues, by their friends, Chavivin Alecha Yisurin, do you appreciate what you're going through? Do you understand this is part of the growth of a human being? And they said, they responded, the Gemara has it, I think, three times on that page, Lohein Velo Sfar. Thanks, but no thanks. I don't want the suffering, and I don't want the reward that comes afterwards. Which brings us to a remarkable insight about Gullus and Geula. If I ask you to picture Mashiach for a couple of minutes before we listen to Eicha, what does Mashiach look like? What's the feeling? What's the energy in the room, so to speak, when Mashiach comes? What's the feeling of going out to greet Mashiach? You would imagine it's an unbelievably joyous day. It's the fulfillment of all of our hopes and dreams. It's the biggest simcha in the world. And yet you open up the Navi in Zechariah and Perek Yud Beis, and the psukim on the surface make no sense. V'hoya b'yom ahu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says on that great day when the time finally comes for Geula, Avakesh l'hashminis kol ha'goyim abo'im al Yerushalayim. I'm going to wipe out, I'm going to annihilate all of your enemies. We should be cheering, we should be rejoicing. V'shafachti al beis David v'al yoshev Yerushalayim ruach chein v'sachanunim. And yet for some inexplicable reason, Klal Yisrael have this spirit of rachmanis, of empathy, of compassion, of sympathy towards our enemies, it sounds like, that's poured down upon us. V'habitu elai es asher dakaru. And we're going to look towards Hashem over those who've been killed, the pashtuses, the enemies of Klal Yisrael. V'softu alav k'misper al yachid. And we're going to mourn our enemies like we would mourn our dearest friends. V'softu ha'aretz mishpachos mishpachos levad. And all of the different clusters, the different families of Klal Yisrael will all be mourning. Big haspeidim in Yerushalayim. What's everyone crying about? The downfall of our enemies is everything we've been hoping for. Yet the Navi says we're going to be sitting there, we're crying. So if you'll tell me, like Rashi says in Chumash, that when it says that Paro died, he didn't really die, he was really sick, and he was making things worse for Klal Yisrael, and he was bathing in Jewish baby blood, I understand, there's what to cry about. But when the enemies are truly vanquished, when the bad guys are finally gone, you would think it would be the biggest celebration in the world. And yet there's this ruachin v'sachanunim, there's this spirit of compassion that leads to all of this mourning over the downfalls of our enemies. Does it make any sense to us? Pashup Shah, does it make any sense to us? Rashi says, v'hibitu, on the word v'hibitu, lis'onin al asher dokaru behem ha'umos, v'hargu behem b'galus. All of a sudden, the Jews are going to start crying over all the people who were lost, who were killed throughout Gullus. Now we're crying. Now that Geula has come, now we're crying. We cried when it happened. We cried when we were suffering. Now we're with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now we have a Beis HaMikdash. Now things are starting to make sense. Now we're crying. Very, very hard to make sense of these psukim. There was a beautiful drasha that was given years ago by Rav Simcha Wasserman. Rav Simcha Wasserman was the eldest son of Rav Elchanan Wasserman. Hashem should avenge his blood. Hope to speak about him tomorrow before the Holocaust kinos. Rav Simcha Wasserman, who passed away in 1992, survived the war, built Torah in Detroit and Los Angeles, eventually Yerushalayim. And he asked the following. He said, how did Jews survive Gullus? We're sitting here tonight, 1900 plus years since we've had a Beis HaMikdash. How are we even here? How have we survived? What mechanism do we use to simply make it through? And he explained that sometimes when a person is hurting so much, when the pain of opening up your heart, like the tzaddikim that I started this evening with, the pain that the Ger Rebbes felt, that their hearts were literally ready to burst, the pain that Tribina Rav had two heart attacks because he couldn't bear the weight of the pain and the suffering of fellow Jews. So you know what we do? We disengage. We turn off our emotions and we say, you know what, it's just too painful to actually look this in the face. And I'm just gonna shut down and pretend this is not really happening or this never really happened. I close off my emotions, I totally disconnect, and I harden my heart. And that's how a person can sometimes survive. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually helps us to survive Gullus in that way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows us to harden our heart as a mechanism to simply survive the weight and the pain of galus. But Simcha Wasserman explained, he said, it's going to come a time right before Mashiach, or with Mashiach's arrival, that the Navi Yecheskel describes in Perek Lamidvav, V'nasati lachem lev chadash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to give you a change of heart. V'ruach chadash atein bekirbachem. I'm going to give you a new spirit, a transformative spirit. V'asi roisias lev ha'even mibesarchem. And I'm going to remove, Hashem's going to help us to remove all of that, all of those blocked emotions. All of that, all of those frustrations of Gullus, all of the pain of Gullus, all the suffering of Gullus, which simply would have cracked under the pressure if we would have engaged it head on. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed us to put a heart of stone inside of ourselves to block out all those feelings. But when Mashiach comes, Asi rosi aslev ha'evan v'sarchem, v'nasati lachem lev basar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that when Mashiach is going to come, I'm going to force you to feel it again. I'm going to force you to look it in the face, and at that moment, what's going to happen? You're going to burst out in tears. All of those repressed emotions. Simcha Wasserman's father was murdered. Rav Chanan Wasserman was murdered. His brother Naftali was murdered. Yet another brother who survived, who came to New York. Right? He was someone who saw the Chorban with his own eyes. And he spoke on behalf of so many survivors. How did people go on after the Holocaust? The Sheres HaPleita, the handful of Jews who actually made it through, actually survived. What did they do to survive? How did they get back to living for those who were even able to? And the answer is so many of them had to close off their hearts. If they would have felt the pain of everything they had gone through, they'd gone out of their mind. They would have gone mad. Remember 6 years ago, Moshe Weinberger from Esh Kodesh in Woodmere spoke about his father's experience in the war. His father passed away this past year. And Rav Weinberger said he remembered the first time, I don't know where he was living at the time, but he said he saw a rat by his garbage can. And he was terrified. He saw this rat. He didn't know what to do. His father. He said, Dad, there's a rat. So his father came. He took a metal pick and he took a garbage bag and he took care of the rat. One, two, three. Weinberger was very nispal by his father's courage, his ability to deal with it so easily. And his father said to him, this is nothing. He said, in Mathausen, we saw rats the size of dogs. And he said, I saw such a horrific thing. I saw a rat marching by carrying a head of a baby in its mouth. How does a human being survive such a thing? How does a human being live ever again after seeing such a thing? Survivors who throughout the entire war couldn't cry because they were just so blocked up. And even after the war, some of them couldn't cry. But with Mashiach's arrival, and again, this is the avodah for the next 24 hours. With Mashiach's arrival, and perhaps the way to bring Mashiach is to start to feel it again. It hurts. Yeah, it hurts. It's much easier to just try to sleep through Tisha B'Av. It's much easier to disengage. It's much easier to mumble through the kinos than to actually try to feel what we're trying to feel. And when that moment comes, when Mashiach comes, it's going to feel like a dagger in our heart. 2,000 years of repressed emotions come crashing down. Who wants to face that? But part of the growth of Klal Yisrael could only be built out of that Lev Basar, out of that transformation from the Lev HaEven to the Lev Basar. Again, like that seed decomposing in the ground before it starts to sprout. I was thinking last year, maybe that's the Pshat in Chazal. Chazal say in the Medrash, Tosfos quotes in Maseches Kedushin, the Medrash in Eicha, Mizmor la'asaf Elokim ba'u goyim benachal asecha. Mizmor la'asaf, let's sing a joyous song. Because the Goyim have come into our territories. They've conquered our Beis HaMikdash. They've destroyed our lives. Says the Medrash, Mizmor la'asaf. Maybe Kina la'asaf. It should be a dirge. It should be a lament. The Medrash gives a mashal. Imagine a king who builds a beautiful chuppah for his son. He's so excited to celebrate with his son. And his son does something horribly wrong. And the father is so enraged that he comes and he destroys, he tears down that chuppah that he built for his son. And one of the king's dear friends is standing by and he picks up a musical instrument and he starts to play, he starts to dance. And the king says, I don't understand. How do you sing at a time like this? Hafachu paso shabano and ata yoshevu mezamer. I just tore down the beautiful home that I had built for my son, the chuppah that I built for my son, because of a disgusting thing that he did. And you're singing and dancing. And of course, the famous response, Amar Lahem, he said back to them, Mizamer ani shafachu paso shabano velo shafach hamaso albano. I'm so happy, I'm so thankful that you took out your anger on a building, on a structure. You didn't take out your anger on your child. So too they said to Asaf, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching his children being destroyed, his Beis HaMikdash is being destroyed. Mizmor la'Asaf? And Asaf responded, yes. I'm singing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sheshafach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chamasu al Eitzim v'alavanim v'lo shafach Chamasu al Yisrael. I'm so thankful that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took out his anger on sticks and stones instead of destroying his children. But it dawned on me last year, a couple days after Tisha B'Av, last year. It's a beautiful medrash, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu poured out his anger on Eitzim v'alavanim, he didn't pour out his anger on Klal Yisrael. That's a lie. It's not true. We were starved, we were killed, we were exiled, we suffered physically, emotionally, spiritually. Which part is Shafach HaMasu? Ke'ilu Hashem only destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Read the Gemaras, read the Midrashim, read the Psukim. The suffering of Klal Yisrael, what does it mean? The Midrash doesn't make any sense. But I thought based on Rav Simcha Wasserman, you could explain. You know what it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu poured out His wrath on Eitzim V'Avanim? Yeah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished us, in addition to tearing down the building. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put Klal Yisrael through all sorts of suffering. But Hashem turned us into Eitzim V'Avanim. Hashem gave us that heart of stone so that we'd be able to survive. And that was a kindness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because how else could we survive the Chorban? How else could we look at a Holocaust and ever revive ourselves and ever go weiter with our lives? So my friends, the challenge for us for the next 24 hours. There's a part of us that wants to just leave that Lev HaEvan in place because it's so much easier than feeling all the pain of 2,000 years of Galus. But like the Ge'er Rebbes, who every one of them preached, I have a heart of stone, I have a heart of stone, I have a heart of flint. Not one of them meant that. It wasn't true. Every one of them had a soft and compassionate heart because they understood that the achrayis of a Jew is to feel, is not to reject the feelings, is to allow yourself at least one day a year, Tisha B'Av, to allow ourselves to feel, to remove that Lev HaEvan, and to restore the Lev HaBasar. I don't want to be presumptuous and speak on anyone else's behalf. I could tell you for myself, and I can imagine that it's true for some other people here. These last number of months have been Mamish Lev HaEvan. Mamish Lev HaEvan. Just a numbing feeling of like uncertainty, of just total lack of clarity what's going to be. But on Tisha B'Av, we have to remove the Lev HaEvan a little bit, to whatever degree we're able to be together, and to allow ourselves to be a little bit more vulnerable, to feel the pain of what this day is, but to use that as a springboard to grow. Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is Gematria Tav Shin Pei. This is the year for us to really feel Tisha B'Av. And then Amir Tzashem, as we transform ourselves from that Lev HaEvan to the Lev Basar, Amir Tzashem will be Zocha. To be zochet to see the mevaser geula, mevaser milashon basar. When we soften our hearts, when we allow ourselves to be connected to this day. And not, God forbid, to disconnect, disengage, and just try to get through it without getting too much of a headache. If we allow ourselves to feel it in a deep way, we'll be zochet to usher in that period of, again, the joy that comes after all of that suffering, the sprouting that comes after all of that decomposition. And Amir Tzashem, this year, we'll be zochet to see Mashiach b'mehera b'yameinu.
Rossi, that go yet. Rossi, that go yet. I saw.